Devotional Meditations on the Questions of Jesus. Ever heard someone say, "That's a good question"? As I read the questions of Jesus, I was constantly saying, "That's a good question, and it deserves an honest answer." I'm Don Harris. Join me now, and together we'll examine the questions of Jesus. Question 39. How is it that you do not understand? During a trip, the disciples realized that they'd brought no bread along for their journey. They were considering this blunder when Jesus made a statement of warning to them about the leaven of the Pharisees. They said among themselves, "We're in trouble now. He knows we forgot the bread." Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, "O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not, and do ye not remember? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember when I break the 5 loaves among 5,000? How many baskets full of fragments ye took up?" And they said unto him, 12. "And when the 7 loaves of the 4,000, how many baskets took ye up?" And they said, 7. "How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees?" Then they understood how he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Matthew 16:18-12 and Mark 8:17-21 combined. Sometimes our shortcomings cause us to narrow our focus. We mentally center on our own weaknesses and apply anything said to us as meant specifically to spotlight our own faults. This makes us nearly unteachable and frustrating to our master, as seen in the example of Scripture. This impairment of our understanding can easily be remedied, but it will require courage and persistence.
What are you looking for? Where is your faith? Why did you doubt? These are some of the most probing questions ever asked, but even more significant is who it is that asked them: Jesus, the Son of God. If you want to embark on a journey of discovery that will impact your life, listen to the questions that Jesus asked.
The questions of Christ became a curiosity to me because of their depth and scope, but more so because of who asked them. Albeit some of the questions asked by Jesus Christ were rhetorical, that is, ask for effect, or ask more to provoke thought than to solicit an answer. Some questions Christ posed were asked merely because he wanted an answer. For some, it makes them uneasy to think that Jesus did not know the answer in advance. We've been taught that Jesus knew everything, as if he were some sort of mind reader or telepathic. The Scriptures do not support this idea. It is therefore only conjecture. Poor conjecture, in my opinion. When the Scriptures state, "Jesus knew their thoughts," as in Luke 6:8 and Matthew 12:25, they simply speak of perception. Jesus was infinitely wise and extraordinarily perceptive, and he knew mankind better than they knew themselves. As John states so perfectly, "But Jesus knew all men, for he knew what was in man." Jesus asked questions of the people in the Bible's stories to fulfill the will of God, and that was, as it remains with us, to bring the chosen ones closer to his Father. With this devotional, you can experience a daily exchange of thought with the Christ of the Bible, leading you closer to him, revealing his ways, his thoughts, and eventually, if he wills it so, his Father. I've been frustrated with books that assume that I, the reader, have the same literary background as the author. I want you to feel no such annoyance. There'll be no quotes from Greek poetry here. but you will find an abundance of Scripture. May I assume that you have a familiarity with the gospel accounts of the life of Christ? If you doubt your level of familiarity and want to reread the Gospels, this devotional will make a good companion for such an endeavor. The context and background of each story will prove to be a rich source as well. What a wonderful journey writing this was for me. It was always a joy to discover a new question and explore it. When the end of the Gospels was drawing near, I felt a sadness as if I was losing a magnificent opportunity to visit with the Savior each morning. As I edited the work, going back through it and reading it as you will, I was pleased to find my experiences repeated and yet somehow were richer than before. I'm happy to share these devotionals with you. I would love to know that you receive them in the same richness of spirit that I did.
If you would like, you could purchase Don Harris's book entitled On the Questions of Jesus for $30, which includes shipping and handling. Just call toll-free at 888-578-7867. That's 888-578-7867. Or write Questions of Jesus at AOL.com. It's an investment that will encourage you to listen to Jesus. Now let's rejoin Don with more from The Questions of Jesus.
This impairment of our understanding can easily be remedied. Here again, we find Jesus asking questions for the benefit of us hearing our own answers. In this passage, he asked many questions to which he knows the answers. He certainly knew the answer to the question, "How is it that you do not understand?" He was, and is yet, well aware of the reasons we cannot understand. The idea of asking is for us to consider why we're missing what he's saying. This is a question we should ask ourselves when we hear even the simplest of his commands. Even when we think we understand, we need to consider the possibility that we do not. Perhaps the message is clearer than it seems. Maybe the message lies beneath the question and our feeble understanding obscures it. In this scripture, Jesus gave a great way to consider our thought processes. As the disciples heard what Jesus said, they first thought that they were being reprimanded for not fulfilling their responsibilities for the trip. He had to call to their remembrance the miracles of the past to put their concern for no bread into proper perspective. He said that with which they were concerned was a small thing. There were far more important things to think about. He was trying to give them a dire warning about a menacing and destructive doctrine that could impair their ability to follow him, and all they could think of was their own skin. We do this too. As we hear God's voice within our hearts trying to guide and direct us, we misapply his instructions or warnings to our petty missteps about which he has little or no concern. Our mind reels as we attempt to construct and utilize a condemnation, guilt, blame procedure to justify ourselves, and we miss the message he intended for us. We seek absolution from sins he has not mentioned, while missing solemn warnings that could destroy us. He unsuccessfully tries to give us the instructions to carry us through the next big trial in our lives. He tries in vain to tell us exactly what we need to know, to be an example to others, to be triumphant in the temptation around the next corner, to be prepared for the disaster that awaits next week or next year. But alas, we're bogged down and cannot understand what he says, because we try desperately to apply what he said to the sin of yesterday, the shortcoming of last week, for the petty habit that plagues us. He tries to warn us. He tries to prepare us. He tries to communicate, but is left with only the frustrating question, "How is it that ye do not understand?" The first and most important thing we can do to avoid this hindrance is to cease to commit these sins. This is a simplistic answer, to be sure, but if carried out, It will go a long way to cure this problem. We simply need to be better stewards of time and talent and pursue our given lots in life with honest efforts and due diligence. We need to keep our lives clean and give no reason for the world to speak reproachfully of us. This covers everything from dealing justly in business to properly taking care of our garbage cans. Need we add here that no Christian should be dealing with a transgression on a commandment level? We do well if we understand this aspect of sin and avoid it. It's for this reason we're perplexed when our judgment and understanding is impaired. We don't habitually sin, we wonder to ourselves. So what's the problem? In the quiet time, in the still hours before sleep and before rising, the Lord has His way of making your shortcomings known to you. In the quiet time of listening and worship, your level of discomfort is directly proportional to the level of spiritual imbalance and dishonesty you've allowed into your demeanor. Shortcomings are no secret to those who listen. Although we may not have flagrant sin, most of us have lives full of inequities, hypocrisies, and small injustices to our fellow man. Not the blatant, wicked sort that we appall, but the subtler sort, the face change upon arrival of guests, the language that becomes more saint-like in the sight of a friend from meeting or fellow Christian, the difference in how we handle disputes among friends and how we handle disputes at our family table. These little sins are the barriers to hearing Christ's instructions. When they come to our mind as He approaches us in worship or prayer, these problems must be worked out of our lives with much effort and endurance, or we'll never be able to see past them. We know that we displease God with these habits and flaws in our character, and they stand as barriers to deeper understanding of His way. If you confess and place these problems upon an altar of honest repentance, they'll lose their power to influence and impair your judgment. You need to give an honest try to overcome these things and confess them as faults to one another. You need to look to Jesus, who can cite example after example of people who overcame such obstacles, and the abounding grace that covers those who are repentant and honest. You'll be asked to count the baskets of overabundance and confess that His grace is indeed sufficient. Many things you've found hard to understand will become clear to you as you make these changes in your living and look to Christ for encouragement. You shouldn't be afraid to question what you think you understand to be fact. The disciples could have easily continued on the trip, thinking that Jesus was angry with them for not bringing bread, and made excuses for themselves and mumbling and murmuring about how hard it is to be a Christian, but Jesus was kind to them, and so they could go on to perfection, so they did not have to continue in their ignorance, so that they would be prepared for the future. He asked them to stop and consider for just a moment, how is it that you do not understand?
If you would like, you could purchase Don Harris's book. Just call toll-free at 888-578-7867. That's 888-578-7867. Or write Questions of Jesus at AOL.com.
Thank you for joining us. This is Don Harris, inviting you to join us again next time as we examine the next in the series from the book On the Questions of Jesus.